It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, from Phoenix, Arizona at Freedom's Phoenix Studios in downtown Phoenix. You know, we have some sad news from this weekend. Alan Stang passed away, and we want to go to Carrie in the control room and have her, you know, share some of her thoughts on it. Carrie, go ahead.
Hi. John wanted me to get on the air and to let everybody know that Alan Stang passed away this weekend in California. He was 78. He had some complications with prostate cancer and was battling some high PSA counts. And he passed away. They're going to cremate him out in California and bring him back to Houston. And I don't know any more details. Alan Stang, in one of his earliest writing jobs, scripted interviews for Mike Wallace before Wallace moved to CBS. Alan Stang's first novel, The Highest Virtue, won smashing reviews from the Los Angeles Times, the late Los Angeles Herald Examiner, the Orange County Register, and 5-star top ratings from the West Coast Review Books. Editor Dave Dries said that he gives 5 stars in only little more than 1% of his reviews. Alan Stang has written 10 books and hundreds of featured magazine articles reprinted in the millions. He has won awards for scholarships, journalist excellence from the Pennsylvania House of Representatives and the American Academy of Public Affairs in Los Angeles, chaired by Lloyd Wright, former chairman of the American Bar Association. Alan Stang has lectured around the world. And as a radio talk host, he went head-to-head with Larry King. He was born and raised a Jew, but converted to Christianity. He and his wife, Gail, have 5 children. He will be very, very missed.
Thanks, Carrie. That was very nice. Yeah, a lot of the fans of Alan Stang, you know, I'm sorry for your loss, and we'll do our best to fill in the shoes of someone that was very worthy of your time, and we'll try and do the same on our end. And it continued, you know, in this spirit, you know, we're going to, you know, this might be a good show in memory of Alan. You know, we're going to bring in a lot of things. Today we're going to talk about the conversion of Naomi Wolf from a feminist liberal to a feminist liberal libertarian and her book that's coming out in a form of a movie. It's going to be The End of America, and we'll try and get her on later this week. I wanted to talk about that just a little bit. Then we're going to – there's a conversation we recorded – Friday that I had with a reporter from London, and I'll tell you about that a little bit in the next segment when we come back, and then we'll play that interview, and it's very instructive on how news is done and where, you know, it's already a predetermined, written kind of thing. That doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong or bad or anything. It's just that, you know, they have a story, and they go out and find information for that story and came across, you know, Ernest Hancock, and, you know, this is how I get in trouble. So when we come back, we'll go ahead and make sure you get to see how the news works behind the scenes. I'm going to bring you in with me. And I'll share that with you, and we'll have some fun. Then we'll get to Keith Liberty. He's going to tell us about your home mortgage and what you might be able to do to save yourself. We'll be right back on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more fight, a little less fun. A little less fight, a little more smart. Close your mouth and open up your heart, and maybe satisfy me.
Yeah, declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time here in the North American continent. You know, the one thing that I wanted to make sure I preface this with, and we go to it, and it's not a nine-minute phone conversation. This is what you need to know. About two, 3 years ago, it was in 07, the summer, I think it was, spring, there was a clamoring to go to war with Iran. And we knew that they still do. I mean, they're going to, one way or another, doing the best they can, trying, you know, just get us into World War III. The bad guys. What happened was, is they were saying that all these IEDs, they're trying not to have casualties. They're trying not, you know, we're going to be here in this occupying force and kind of, you know, Americans don't like, you know, tens of thousands of, you know, like this Vietnam assembly line of body bags, okay? So what has happened is insurgents, I'm not sure what you call someone that's in their country, you know, don't want you there fighting you, but whatever you want to call them, they were definitely using these IEDs, these improvised explosive devices. And they were saying they're so complicated and everything. Oh, this is, it has to be the work of Iran helping these guys. Well, we know a lot of us here and editors and stuff. One of the guys that's a firearms expert, he's never been in the military, but he's, you know, well versed in a lot of guys that have been, reads a lot. This is of interest to him. And he goes, They're not doing it. You could do this in your freaking kitchen. You know, this is amazing. So what he did, I said, well, go ahead and write it up. And he writes up this story, and he goes, name and address withheld by request. So I just put it up, and I thought it was very interesting on how these IEDs work and how this claim that they needed Iran to do this was just bogus. We knew they were just using it. One more excuse, and they're bringing it back up again. Well, this London writer went out in the internet searching. He came across this store, and he's like, holy crap, man, this thing's of interest. And it's brought up other people. We've had people kind of, you know, instigate, you know, want to get hold of us and such, you know, on this, trying to drag us into their little web. But I'm just going to play this phone conversation for you, and I think it answers most of the questions. So let's go ahead and go with that.
Hello, it's Marco here.
Marco, hi. Ernest Hancock from Phoenix, Arizona, Freedom's Phoenix.
Ernest, thank you so much for phoning me back. I wasn't sure that you would. I'm sorry to trouble you. I'm a reporter for a British newspaper called the Sunday Express. I'm writing a story on IEDs in Afghanistan, the use of IEDs.
And my name came up because why?
Well, I stumbled on something I thought was written by you.
Was it on Freedom's Phoenix, our website?
Yes, exactly right.
Okay.
It was about the munitions field book printed by the U.S. Army Department in 1969.
Oh, I'm familiar with the story, and I'll tell you how that came about. When the United States government it was a couple of years ago. What's the date on that?
I don't remember, actually. I don't have it handy at the moment.
Let me see.
Could have been 2007, actually, I think, off memory.
Yeah, it was a little while ago, and let me try and, on my site, I'll search it, and then I'll help you with that. Because what happened was, at the time, what the U.S. government was doing was saying that the IEDs that were being used in Iraq and Afghanistan were being manufactured, and it was all our excuse to, let's go kick Iran's butt.
Yes, okay. Exactly right, yes.
And there was a gentleman that's one of my writers, a columnist, that goes by Chip Saunders, is probably the one that you have there. I'm sitting here trying to use things that go bump in the road, how IEDs
work.
That was
it, things that go bump in the road. I thought you wrote that. I'm sorry, I must have misunderstood.
And then it has, oh, it's giving me a warning thing. Oh, somebody's going after it. Oh, my goodness. Well, what happened is, and I'll try and get that refreshed up. What happened was, is Chip wrote this article in response to the United States government trying to blame that this was high-tech weaponry, that only Iran could be helping them and so on.
Yeah.
And we knew that was garbage. This is so, so much information on this. It's out there on the internet. That's in the manuals. And he wrote this article. Demonstrating how this was done. He's going, look, you know, it's, you know, it's simple. It's this. This is what they're doing, and you're not going to stop.
But who is this? Who is this Chip guy?
He's a friend of mine here in Arizona, and I don't want to give out the information
for
him.
Does he have a military background, or is he like just a writer? Or?
He's a writer, but you know, he's interested in firearms and so on. But no, he hasn't been in the military, but he just knows that this is, we all knew. And I, you know, he decided to write this article to try and thwart what the United States government was saying, that they, you know, this is an Iran thing, and we're going, right. Whether it is or not, you know, to try and, you know, put this as such a high tech that only Iran could be, you know, training these guys. And we're like, really? I mean, seriously? So that was the demonstration. Now, I remember the last time I saw that article, because we track our popularity of various different things on our site, and that keeps coming up, you know, depending on what's in the news. And what happened was, last time I looked at it, which could have been a year ago or so, when I looked at that, what happened was some of the graphics and the off-site, you know, links to some of the videos that he had, you'll see there's blanks in there.
Yeah, and I did notice that.
And they keep all these references on the internet keep dropping. You know, they just keep taking them off the internet and taking them off and taking them off and taking them off. And then I got, oh, a few months ago, I got a cryptic, and you'll see in there, if you do a search on my site for IEDs and such like that, there was a letter to the editor from a guy to me saying, oh, I'm from Arizona. I just signed up. I'm going off in the fight for the blah, blah, blah. I was wondering if you could tell me all you know about IEDs. And I'm like, really? So, you know, that guy was a neon flashing plan of something, you know. So we put that up and we go, well, hello. And we just let our readers comment on it and had some fun with it. But it was obviously somebody trying to generate something, which, you know, it could have been you calling from London doing the same thing, but we don't care. So what happens is, you know, we have a radio show here in America. We have, you know, audio and video studio and a workshop, and we're involved in activism. And if you look at Freedom's Phoenix, you'll see that we cover a lot of things. This was one of them. And the point that we were making is that United States government was using this as propaganda and are lying sacks of snot.
Well, what I was after was to quote somebody telling me, look,
United States government is lying sacks of snot. There you go.
Well, but more specifically about this field guide. I was after somebody telling me, look, this field guide has been around. It was given to the Mujahideen. It's probably been in circulation in Afghanistan for 30 years. I mean, that's the inference that I got from some of that article. And most of it was about Vietnam, and it showed how evidence was that, you know, that it had got into VC hands, and they'd used some of the stuff from that field guide against U.S. troops. The same inference was made about Afghanistan. That, you know,
well, this isn't like a this isn't like a shock, is it? I mean,
well, no, not at all. I just needed. It's not a shock. It's not a shock. I was just looking for somebody to quote saying, well, you know, this field guide's been around. It's been disseminated for various reasons over the last few decades, and it's likely that it's gotten into the hands. That was it. I was just looking for somebody to quote. That's why I phoned you. I have to confess, Ernest, I wasn't sure about who you were. I tried to do my research on the internet after I read that.
Well, I'm the publisher of the site and a talk show host here out of Phoenix, and the site is open for people to do, you know, whatever. But the I'm showing that I can't open that article anymore.
Well, now, I'm just trying to open it now. Things go bump in the road. I'm getting a
warning thing?
Well, no. I'm just a very strange version of it on my laptop. I'm not getting what I got at my office.
I'm so not shocked. Are you?
No, well, perhaps not.
Well, we'll go ahead, and if we need to, it's time for an update on that. Maybe I'll see if I can get him to update that article. But it caused a lot of attention. I mean, you know, because we track all of the movement on our site, and you can see you get a lot of .mils and .govs coming in there and doing. And what it is the point that we were making, and that article did a good job of it, explaining how these things work, how RPGs work, how, you know, where do they get their explosives and so on. And this stuff is – they've just recently – I saw a story we had on our website where they did a search on a facility that had a whole bunch of these copper plates that they use as the actual molten metal that the IED, you know, projects. Because it's like a plate, you know, it's like a dish, and on the shape of the dish determines, you know, the distance of it and how it bores through whatever. And, you know, you had it's like a factory of these in Iraq, you know, just, you know, hundreds of these things. And I'm going, well, I know what that means. It means they're mass producing these. And it's not in Iran.
But some of those are that sophisticated. But my understanding is that others aren't being manufactured at all. They're being made one by one pretty simply. From, you know, artillery shell casings and things like that.
Yeah, and things that, you know, that don't explode, they use explosives at them. And so, this is the point. I didn't get into detail. I couldn't tell you how to make one or anything.
No.
I don't know. That's
but
not the point.
How do you know so much about it anyway?
Because I read the article.
Oh, right. Okay, fair enough. Okay.
You know more than me, probably.
I see. Okay, I'm with you now. Well, Ernest, thank you very, very much for phoning me back tonight. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, good luck with that. I'm telling you, don't let these guys get away with this. I mean, it could be Iran for all I know. That's not the point.
I've got the article up, by the way, now.
Oh, you do? Yeah, we got it up now, too. If you searched things that go bump in the road, you'll find it. An interesting conversation. When we come back, we'll talk about it. And I've had many of these. You know, a lot of reporters get a lot of stuff from Freedom's Phoenix, and I get contacted. Well, we'll talk about it, and you get the behind-the-scenes stuff here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in just a little bit.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Hey, declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time, here from the beautiful Freedom's Phoenix Studios, Freedom's with an S, Phoenix.com, Freedom'sPhoenix.com, and publisher of that. We've got all kinds of goodies there. You know what you can do? You go to Freedom'sPhoenix.com. In the central navigation bar up in the mid-center, you can click on search. Then you do the Freedom's Phoenix Google search in there. Things that go bump in the road, and it'll come up. There was another, I don't know, 50 seconds, you know, left of that conversation. It was just me telling them that, you know, we'll be talking about on the radio and all that kind of stuff and everything. But you got the gist of it. This is what happened. There was a article written by a gentleman that knew that this was, you know, if troubles come to America, you can expect IEDs. I mean, you know, there's so many things out there on the internet and stuff. And if you put in, I mean, we're going to have something. They're making robots that feed on dead bodies. You think I'm kidding? We had two stories on it this weekend. Military are coming out with robots that digest organic material, and they're steam powered. Okay. So they just, as long as they got something to burn, you know, they go for freaking ever. You know, these, I'm seriously, I mean, it's like a bad sci-fi movie. Here you have these, they look kind of like Johnny Five in Short Circuit. You know, they're pretty soon they're going to have growing skin, flesh, cyborg Arnold Schwarzenegger coming out of retirement stuff. But the thing is that these robots go around and they sustain themselves with organic material that they use to burn. Bodies. I mean, they even say it. Dead bodies. So, I mean, just how bad are they expecting this to get? Is this their, you know, cleanup crew? What was that? WALL-E? You know, the kids' movie? You got all that's going to be left is a bunch of little robots going around cleaning up the mess? I mean, wow. It's so absurd. It's humorous, but it's scary as heck, is it not? Now, the one thing I wanted to talk to you about real quick was Naomi Wolf. I've got to know her when she, in the early 90s, she's a young, attractive woman. You know, she's probably, I don't know, 5 foot three, four, nothing, you know, long, flowing hair. She's an attractive woman, but she's a third wave of feminism. She wrote a book called The Beauty Myth, and the point that she was making is that, you know, we get all this equality. You know, the women now start having a little bit more parity and, you know, legal contracts and, you know, working at work, and they don't have to worry that much about sexual harassment, or at least they have an avenue to try and prevent it, and, you know, on and on and on and on. But you have this patriarchal society, this man-dominated society that is creating this what is normal to be considered attractive or beautiful or what. And she goes, we are enslaved by this image that has been created of us. From her perspective, and I mean, she's an attractive woman. I don't think that she's suffering too much. But, you know, she sees this, you know, and what kind of damage. She brought attention to it, and it was an immediate bestseller. And I'm going, okay, you know, I can see where this is coming from. Then she had something interesting to say about pornography. You know, a lot of it, she was saying that, you know, pornography, it wasn't so much that, you know, pornography was bad. It was, you know, the effect that it had. She writes, the onslaught of porn is responsible for deadening male libido in relation to real women and leading men to see fewer and fewer women as porn worthy. Far from having to fend off porn-crazed young men, young women are worrying that they are, that is mere flesh and blood, they can scarcely get, let alone hold, their intended's attention. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, they're not seeing, they're just being drained. Wolf advocates abstaining from porn, not on moral grounds, but because greater supply of the stimulant equals diminished capacity. So she's, you know, kind of got a reasoned mind on this, open. She's going, then all of a sudden, out of the blue, she starts to really focus on, you know, the bigger problem we all have is this coming police state. So she starts researching for her book, The End of America, which is now becoming a documentary movie that you can order and have like a documentary movie watching parties, which I think we may do. We'll go ahead and we'll get hold of this movie and we'll see if we can do a movie night and so on and get Naomi. Maybe we can see if she'll even come out, because I'll tell you what my exposure to her. When I was producing for the Charles Goyette show, we had her come on, you know, back in the day. And she started, you know, seeing, you know, something was wrong, because she's been a consultant for Clinton and Gore, and she's been, you know, get them that woman vote. You know, there's an entire block out there that they wanted to make sure they got access to, and gosh darn it, she was going to help them with it. So what she did is she got involved in politics, and she could see what was happening. Oh, my goodness. And there was a friend of hers, an older woman that had been in the concentration camps, and says, look, there is a pattern here. It happens over and over and over. And what she did is she wrote down the 10 steps, a letter of warning to a young patriot. And she says, look, from the left, from the feminist left, from the very, you know, consultings to the lefty left of the left, all of a sudden she's going, holy moly, we are in big trouble. She was one of the very popular speakers at the Revolution March, where Ron Paul spoke and Adam Kokesh and Michael Cher and a lot of, Charles did, I did, I emceed. This was a great event where she came up, and she came up to me and she goes, Ernie, yeah, you libertarians were right. What were we right about? And how is it that the left came over and openly admitted we're right where we said we were going to be? Well, we'll talk about when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, a little more in just a little bit. You stay right there.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Yeah! Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. here on RBN Network from the beautiful studios of freedomsphoenix.com. That's freedoms with an S, phoenix.com. Phoenix. I know, it's phonics. It's like Tucson here. Got to say Tucson, Tucson. And that's just, you know, a southwestern thing. But I tell you, you know, in the Midwest, you go back east, you go to Florida, where I am from originally, man, there's some long Indian names in there. You got it. So I guess it's not so bad out here. They spoke a little bit shorter syllables. Now, what I wanted to do is introduce you to a good friend of mine, you know, Keith Liberty. We'll call him Keith Liberty. Keith Liberty has been a patriot for a long time. He started back in, at least in the 80s. You know, he's been involved back with, you know, Jack McLam and Bo Greitz and Evan Meekum from here, and, you know, got really involved in Republican politics and kind of expanded away from that a little bit, kind of, you know, yeah, see how the system works. But he uses the system. Now, here's one, I know he's one of you guys. Here's the guys, you know, he's reading, but what does the law say? You know, I've kind of got past that. I've got more anarchist, you know, where I'm just like, I know they don't care what the law says. Why should I care? are we still playing that game? I mean, seriously. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, you have a really good argument. You want to, you know, and when you really start taking on them on with their law in the beginning, when they're using it to prop up something, you got a new one, you're hammering on it, they're not ready. They don't know. They use a lot of these arguments that the Patriot Movement do, and they'll create an entire work study program that then they come up with all the, you know, the catchphrases that the judges will do, the prosecutors, what they'll say, what court they'll move you into. They even create special divisions, you know, for these arguments and stuff, and they move you off into another area and boom, try and contain you and compartmentalize you. Whether you're right or not doesn't matter. So I'm going, look, man, I've seen this 15 gazillion times. Yeah, I know you're right. So they don't care. But Keith has been successful. And we're talking about, go ahead and bring Keith in. You know, Keith, tell me, what is it that we're going to be talking about? It has to do with home mortgages and so on. Tell me the law that we are going to be discussing.
We're going to be talking about basically keeping your home from foreclosure for a few more periods of time, months or whatever, sometimes longer. And it's not my debt. The philosophy behind the debt that is on our homes, and they want us to pay, and we want us to work three jobs and pay for the rest of our lives, and we still can't pay off. So basically, and then I want to go into detail which specific law, which is Title 15, 1635 is one of them. That's the Truth in Lending Law.
Well, tell us what the Truth in Lending Law, you're talking about the one that was done during the Clinton administration.
Actually, I believe it was done in probably the 60s, and then was amended in the Clinton administration.
Okay. Now, this is a lot of this stuff. This was built up to the housing bubble. I mean, a lot of this is all about everybody's going to get a house. This is how we're going to get a house. And, you know, even, you know, we have all these people that are not educated, maybe get a house. So we're going to have a law to protect them, you know, in case they get taken. We want you taking advantage of everybody on our welfare rules that's going to get a house. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I if you look at the law, you can see what they were trying to. It's, you know, economic and social engineering. I mean, that's what it comes down to. That's what they're trying to do. So this has been the result of this. This housing bubble was created by a lot of these incentives. So I want you to go ahead and detail the law, what it was supposed to do, how they used it, where we are now, and then we'll get into what, you know, people might be able to do to take advantage of this and, you know, breathe a little easier for you've been helping some people. Go ahead and tell us.
Well, like it said earlier, 10% of the people have no job right now, and that's growing. And basically, that means a lot of people are in foreclosure. And so what I started researching for myself and for others is this Truth in Lending Law. It was basically written to keep lenders from taking advantage of home buyers and people that refinance their homes. It doesn't make a lot of sense why they wrote this law. It's almost too restrictive. But anyway, because of what I've learned about, including Alan Stan, was part of my road and journey here, he started talking about all this debt, this Federal Reserve debt, and it's so huge that we could all work three jobs in the United States of America and give every bit of that money to these people, and we still cannot pay this debt off. And I started looking at those numbers, and I thought, well, I know I borrowed a little bit of money, but I haven't borrowed so dang much that I got to work three jobs and retire when I'm 85, like, which is the new retirement age right now. So basically, I decided to start researching how can I avoid a foreclosure. So I looked at Title 15, 1635. It's very specific. If the banks follow the law, there wouldn't be hardly any foreclosures, at least on refinances in this country today. And the banks are already working with the courts to almost basically do like they do with the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights and to negate the actual law that's written. And that law is if they violate or if they get off a dollar amount when they wrote you all those pieces of paper that you signed at the closing table, if they're off more than 1/8 to 1%, or in a case of a foreclosure off $35, their loan, if it's a refinance, can be rescinded in 3 years. That means it's null and void, and therefore they have to take their security interest, which is the deed of trust, off your house, and they have to give you back all the interest you paid for the last period of time, 2.5 years or whatever, how long you've had this mortgage.
Okay, now this law was done as a punitive measure to not take advantage of people at the closing table and really slap them.
Exactly what it was designed for. Just like a car dealer, they try to rein these people in, and they're not reined anyway. The loan brokers and bankers have just violated the people all day long the last decade here.
Okay, now, so let me understand this. This was a punitive measure to keep these guys in check for not taking advantage of people. Now, how it's being used or can be used is you go back and you look at your loan and you say, hey, man, you violated it here, 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 and here. I'm rescinding the loan, giving my money back, and I get to keep my house. And they go, whoa, 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 freaking whoa. You know, heck no. And we sure as heck don't want you teaching a bunch of people how to do this, but it's the law. Now, this has gone all the way to the Ninth Circuit already, has it not?
Ninth Circuit, all the circuits have had this run through there.
And what did they do? They go, never mind, the law doesn't mean what it says?
Exactly. That's what the Ninth Circuit does. Now, the Sixth Circuit and some of the others have been a lot stricter. They follow the law more as written. But the Ninth has said, if the guy in foreclosure can't pay them off at the end, then we're not going to enforce the rescission, which is nonsense because that means every loan is not rescindable.
Okay, so now what has happened, we have a conflict in the district, so we're ready to go to Supreme Court, I imagine, right?
Yes, that is. Some cases are going up that way, and I think some have even been decided. And it's just a mishmash. There's, you know, it's like all like the Bill of Rights. They don't follow what is written. That's
okay, so this is what's going on. We're going to expand all these different government programs. We're going to manipulate interest rates. We're going to inflate this housing bubble, but you know, because we love the people so much, and in our social and economic engineering to try and rein big bad banks in, we're not going to let them take advantage of these people and have a very large penalty if they do.
That is the premise, yes.
But they did anyway.
Well, the taking advantage of the people is giving them the Federal Reserve note to begin with, and that's a whole other subject. But basically, these banks don't lend you other people's money like they tell you they do. They tell you that some guy went, old man brought in $100,000, deposited it, and they're lending it to you. And the old man gets 2%, and you pay 7% on it. But the reality is they don't lend you other people's money at all. They create it off thin air, and they create it off your promissory note that you hand the bank. They take your promissory note, turn it into a check, deposit it, give it back to you at interest for 30 years. So it's an exchange and not a loan, and that's where the fraud, that's the real disadvantage of the people, and that's why they own most of the world today, and we don't own hardly a thing.
Mm.
Yes.
So we get a little bit deeper in here, but I want to stay focused on the law right now, because we can get in the Federal Reserve, that's a whole other thing. But what happened is that now they're being challenged. Now, this is how it would, if you're at the closing table, this is how it would happen. My wife's a real estate agent. I've been an agent for years. I have had, a lot of people that here in Arizona, if you had a job at 7-Eleven, you were buying houses. Okay. I mean, and that's how it was going. Keith has been in real estate. He's been a landlord doing, that's how we know all this stuff. What happened was you go at the closing table, they would give you an estimate of everything and what the charges were and everything. You're sitting there, you got to refinance, you got all your finances sitting around, ready to get this money. You got contractors coming, you're ready to close, you got all your money into doing whatever, you got to close today. And they go, I'm sorry, this is now, instead of $200, it's $2,000.
Exactly.
You got $1,000 going over here that we didn't even have on the list. And I had a good friend of mine. There was a $19,000 difference on him doing his home. He had no choice.
It happens on at least probably 50, 60% of all loans I've ever looked at. They change them at the last minute, tell you either take it or leave it. And we know that your closing is going to be going by, or that you have to pay that bill off or that balloon off, and then they stick to the higher rate and interest and prepayment penalties and adjustables and all that nonsense, and they've done it to masses of people.
So as the economy starts to go, as people have the opportunity to go and have to restructure their lives, because they've gotten into so much debt, the inflation is starting to hit, you have all the gas prices go up. I mean, people are on the edge, and that's when these guys take advantage of them and what this law was supposed to prevent. So now by enacting this law, now attorneys and so on, you'll see on our website, there's an attorney, Mark Victor. It got so overwhelming that he created a whole separate division in his criminal law practice that did nothing but negotiate these mortgages. You know, you come with us and the attorney gets their own fee, a little chunk, and negotiates this down and everything. And of course, this law is one of the things they look at your mortgage to begin with. They go, well, look, there's 15 gazillion violations right here of this law. So they put that in part of the negotiations, and the banks they're wanting to negotiate more now because it's going down still.
That's what they mean by toxic assets. They're toxic because they're so full of fraud and law violations that they're not worth a darn if you really look at them.
So this is one thing that you need to get. I'm going to give you out his email so you can just send him, you know, if you have a question, you're in this situation, you know, he's just doing this on just a favor. You know, it's kind of, you know, whatever, he may be beginning a business on this and such. It's up to him, but I wanted him to make sure that he was able to share this information with you because you're hearing a lot about this. I wanted you to understand what it really is. It's homesecure@bigstring.com. homesecure@bigstring.com. Now, Keith, if they contacted you and they go, okay, I'm in trouble, man. They got foreclosed and banging on my door. And a lot of people I know that we've been working with this, it's been drug out, you know, 6-8 months. I mean, is it because of your efforts or they're just not wanting to settle?
I think it's a little bit of both, actually. So we got three types of people listening to our voices right now. Some that are going to want to do it on their own home. Some that are going to want to do it for their own home and others that will just want somebody else to do it. If you want someone else to do it, go ahead and email me. If you want to learn with me, go ahead and send me an email too. But basically, everyone listening to us should go ahead and get on the internet and look up 151635. That's Title 15, 1635. It's two pages. Anyone can read it. Read it over. I had to read it over 20 times because it's typical federal law, but at least it's short. And it basically says if they were off, particularly in a foreclosure off more than $35, then they have to rescind it. And you can send them a one-page notice saying, I rescind this mortgage. And then the bank, by the law, has to rescind. And so basically that's what I've done on mine, and lots of people have done. I've done it for others. And we send this in. And it usually, if it's in foreclosure, most of the time, probably 90% of the time, the bank will keep postponing the foreclosure because you have rescinded their security interest, their deed of trust, and they have no interest in that property anymore by law. And then you use that as a tool to either renegotiate the loan or stay in the house for a little bit more time, or put yourself in a better position than you otherwise would be without doing anything.
Okay, now this is one thing we want to get in this, you know, libertarian thing on this. There's a gentleman, his name's Pat Schwinn, that has a Thursday morning economic breakfast group, and he is proudly considered left liberal. He's in the mortgage industry. He's probably guilty of a lot of this stuff. But, you know, the thing is he was just freaked out. You damn libertarians are talking about not paying your debts. You're going to use, you know, a government law to get out of paying your debts, you non-debt payers. Okay?
That's exactly what he brought up, and it's a good thing that he did bring it up because we have to all think about our attitude towards this whole darn debt thing. Is it my debt or is it not? And basically, we were trained as in a free enterprise society to go ahead and pay our debts, and we should. We can't have a contract society where we contract in exchange if we don't pay our bills. So if I buy a car from you for $1,000, 100 down, 100 a month, I need to pay you off, or otherwise I'm not any better than a thug on the street. And we've taken that philosophy, which is good, has preserved our country, at least the economics in a portion for years. But the Federal Reserve has taken that where they've printed money out of thin air that no one worked for and earn interest on it. And they want us to take that same philosophy we have on that car and put it onto all that lying debt, that trillions and trillions of unpayable debt. I heard it's like $700 trillion with all the derivatives, and that's true. It's like 20 times the whole world economy. It's unpayable. These numbers are unpayable. And so Pat is saying, well, we need to pay our mortgages. Well, if the banks had actually lent you other people's money, I would agree. But they didn't. They created out of thin air. They did this exchange rather than a loan. They fraud you. They fraud you on the terms. And if you can find ways of challenging that, it's part of it. It's not my debt program. this debt is not mine. I'll pay my car loan that I actually got something in exchange, but I'm not paying this Federal Reserve debt. That's the children should be saying that, and their parents and grandparents should be saying the same thing.
So the end result is a collapse of what? What would collapse? The Federal Reserve would collapse.
That's the toxic assets that they all bought up. They don't own nothing. They haven't worked for nothing, so they don't own nothing. They've done nothing but shuffle papers for 80 years, and they ripped us all off. So we either stand up to it or we lay down, and we become renters for the rest of our lives.
Oh, they're talking about that.
They sure are.
You know, Obama's saying, oh, guess what? You know, we're nationalized General Motors. We'll nationalize the banks and all their toxic assets. And guess what? You on the Obama Nation plantation.
Yes, we are. All the deeds of trust are in the hands of the Federal Reserve, and they didn't work a dime for it. And you have to keep that in mind. So it's a philosophical thing you have to deal with first, and then after that, get into this law, read it a couple times, email me, or go to one of these seminars. There's a seminar coming up here in Phoenix that I'd highly recommend. And then there's a website I'm going to recommend as well. But this seminar is on July 26th. And also another one on July 27th. The first one, the 26th, is for homeowners, and the 27th for attorneys. The homeowners one's $195. The 27th is $695. I'd recommend going to the bigger one if you can, just learn more. But it's put on by livinglies.wordpress.com. It's outstanding. All these attorneys and people like me are all getting on there and sharing information, and we're learning about all this fraud. And you can go there and learn how to keep your house for a few more months at minimum. And if not, if you can rescind on a refinance, sometimes that bank owes you back the 2.5 years interest they paid, plus all the money you paid on the HUD-1 at the original closing. So go ahead and look at it philosophically and look at it legally, and I say try both.
Now, this is, what's the, it was .wordpress.com, what was the beginning?
It's a weird website. It's Living Lies.
Living Lies.
.wordpress.com.
Okay, so if they went there, they could see where they're having these seminars,
yes,
and so on.
Absolutely.
Because I know you've been working on this for months, a year.
Yes, yeah, I've been doing it for over a year, and I've heard about it for 10 years. So,
You guys, we're just here to give you some information. It's up to you. Declare your independence. However you want to do it, go fight the man, be my guest, power to you, and then let me know how it goes. You first. Really. Go ahead, and I want to hear all about it. Well, then you'll be an independence declared, and you come back on the show and tell me how it worked out. Here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. We'll be back in just a little bit.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day, 11 a.m., 1 p.m. Central Time on RBN Network, and from freedomsphoenix.com studios here in lovely, 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 stinking hot Phoenix, Arizona. Now, it's a dry heat. After a while, when you get crispy, then it doesn't really matter. But I enjoy it here more than anywhere else I've been in the summer and, America, everywhere. I tell you, I'd rather be here, because when you get in the shade, if you got a hat on, it's not that bad. It's just a radiation gets you. Now, while we're here in the summer and the heat and so on, it drives people off of the roads. And I tell you, today, I was coming in at our time here, 7 o'clock, I'm coming. That should be peak rush hour. 6, 7, you're just rock and roll and whatnot. I was thinking, it's Monday, right? It's not Sunday, it's Monday. There's not a holiday today. Is there a holiday today? There's not a holiday today, is there? There's hardly anybody on the road. Did everybody get fired last week? I think they did. You think I'm kidding? Here in Arizona, it's all construction. It was construction, development, construction. Everybody's moving here, construction. Man, they overbuilt like you wouldn't believe, and then had to stop. And there was a woman, her name's Twist, she goes by. They had housingdoom.com, and she was, years ago, she's, just singing her song saying, oh, here it goes. All you got to do is look at the math. You just have to look at the housing listings. And what happened was, she would do presentations at her breakfast club, and we put stuff up on the Freedom's Phoenix website, and we would do some of that, pay attention to her graphs and some of her tracking. And she would take the Wall Street Journal, came out and said, oh, what are you talking about? They're saying, you crazy woman. She goes, really? Come on out here and I'll show you. What she did is she took them to these developments, and she showed how when they do stucco around these out here in the sun, stucco is a very popular house shield and covering. And what they did is they have these fiber, what do you call it, styrofoam. It's kind of insulation that goes around, and they put the chicken wire on and so on. That's showing. They're showing they're going yellow. And going yellow, I mean, you know, the sun will get you, but it takes a while. You know, it may take a month or two. And she would drive through these associations, and you see some of the houses they sold, you know, at first, and the models and everything, and acres of unfinished yellowing styrofoam shielded homes. And she goes, what about this? Now you have south of Phoenix, there's an area called Maricopa. It's between us and Casa Grande, one of the next little larger towns there. Well, Maricopa kind of became a, a suburb of Phoenix. You know, it was drivable range. I mean, you could work in Phoenix and live out there, but it was a ways. You had to go through a lot of rush hour traffic, so you're looking at a 40-mile drive or something. Well, if you can go out there and get a home when things were going for $500,000 and you could get a 2-story, 5-bedroom, 3-bath, you know, 3-car garage home for, you know, $280,000 or something, they were all over it. A lot of people moved out there poor, and a lot of people speculated. They bought a bunch of homes. They had 3-4 homes out there. They were just selling, turn them before they even were finished. They sometimes were sold a couple of times. That's how, you know, speculative this market was. Well, then all of a sudden, boom, you can get those same houses now, some of them under $100,000. You know, at $50,000 or $60,000. You think I'm kidding? These are like, you know, 2-3, you know, year old homes that are 2,600 square feet for $85,000 with a pool. You know, I'm not joking. This is bad. Now, all of this toxic paper that these banks have and so on, why aren't they just selling these on the market? Why are they just liquidating? Because it's just going to keep getting down worse. I mean, why? They're looking for some big giant buy from the Chinese or something. They're wanting to get rid of this, but the second that they do, let me tell you what happens. All of a sudden, the bottom's going to drop out. And there's nothing that's going to stop it. The best you can do is protect yourselves, become informed, and know it's coming. Nothing is going to stop it. But we'll keep you informed here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. We'll be back just a little bit.